जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी, कति जन बल्ला गिरिरा राधारी, कति जन बल्ला गिरिरा राधारी, यशोर नंदन अग्रज जन रंजन, यशोर नंदन अग्रज जन रंजन, चमन तीरावन चारी, चमन तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन बल्ला गिरिरा राधारी, यशोर नंदन व्रज जन रंजन, जमुन तीरावन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर सप्त श्री श्रीमद् इज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जय। आना तो कोट वैष्णविंद की जय। इसका फाउंडर चॉइस वाइन ग्रेश प्रभुपाद की जय। गोल प्रेमनंदी ऑल गोस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल गोस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल गोस टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल गोस टू शिशु गुरु गौरंग। नमो विष्णु पाराय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनीति नामने, नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्य वारि पाश्चात्य देश धारिणे। जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद, जय द्वैत चंद्र जय घोर भक्त वृंद, जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद, जय द्वैत चंद्र जय घोर भक्त वृंद, जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद, जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद This morning we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 6, text 121 through 127. So we'll just chant to 121 together here. Word means Vedanta Shravana, hearing of Vedanta philosophy, A, this, Sinyasira, of a person in the renounced order, Dharma, factual occupation, Nirantara, incessantly, Kara, do to me you, Vedanta of Vedanta philosophy, Shravana, hearing. Vedanta Shravana e Sanyasi Radharma. Nirantara Kara Tumi Vedanta Shravana. Vedanta Shravana e Sanyasi Radharma. Translation, this is the conversation between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concerning the Bhattacharya's concern that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being a young sannyasi, needed to fix himself in his vows by hearing Vedanta. So the Bhattacharya said, hearing Vedanta philosophy is a sannyasi's main business. Therefore, without hesitation, you should study Vedanta philosophy, hearing it without cessation from a superior person. Lord Chaitanya replied, you are very merciful to me, and therefore I think it is my duty to obey your order. Thus, for 7 days continually, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu listened to the Vedanta philosophy expounded by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. However, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not say anything and did not indicate whether it was right or wrong. He simply sat there and listened to the Bhattacharya. On the 8th day, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have been listening to Vedanta philosophy from me continually for 7 days. You have simply been listening fixed in your silence. Since you do not say whether you think it is right or wrong, I cannot know whether you are actually understanding Vedanta philosophy or not. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, I am a fool, and consequently I do not study the Vedanta Sutra. I am just trying to hear it from you because you have ordered me. Only for the sake of executing the duties of the renounced order of sannyas do I listen. Unfortunately, I cannot in the least understand the meaning you are presenting. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented himself as if he were a sannyasi in name only, or in other words, a number one fool. Maharaja sannyasis in India are very much accustomed to declaring themselves Jagat Gurus, teachers of the world, although they have no information of the outside world and are limited in their experience to a small town or village, or perhaps the country of India. Nor do such sannyasis have sufficient education. Unfortunately, at the present moment, there are many foolish sannyasis, both in India and elsewhere, who simply read and study Vedic literature without understanding the purports. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having his discussion with the Chan Qazi, the Muslim magistrate of Navadvip, he recited a verse from the Vedic literature to the effect that the order of sannyas is prohibited in this age of Kali. Only those who are very serious and who follow the regulative principles and study Vedic literatures should accept sannyas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of a sannyasi's reading the Vedanta Sutra or Brahma Sutra, but he did not approve the Sariraka commentary of Shankaracharya. Indeed, he said elsewhere, Mayavari Bhashya Sumilehaya Sarva Nasa. If one hears the Sariraka Bhashya of Shankaracharya, he is doomed. Thus, a sannyasi, a transcendentalist, must read the Vedanta Sutra regularly, but he should not read the Sariraka Bhashya. This is the conclusion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The real commentary on the Vedanta Sutra is Srimad Bhagavatam Artoyam Brahma Sutranam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the original commentary on the Vedanta Sutra written by the author himself, Srila Vyasadeva. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Kananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Mitamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So the subject matter is sannyas. So we'll speak today a little bit about the history of Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyas, and about sannyas niskan. In case anybody's interested, I'm going to outline the procedure for taking sannyas niskan so that you can be prepared, whether you're brahmachari or grihastha. So, when I was in Mayapur recently, they had this International Leadership Sangha, which I think you may have heard something about. Very nice gathering of devotees from all over the world. Leaders that came to associate with the Governing Body Commission and also other senior devotees to try to increase the preaching of Srila Prabhupada's movement, ISKCON, around the world. And they had a very nice arrangement made by Mother Lakshmimoni for taking prasadam. I may have mentioned it before, but you know, in Bengal they build these palaces out of bamboo and cloth, and just in the middle of a field there's a wonderful building that suddenly appears. It's very nicely decorated with chandeliers and everything inside. So Mother Lakshmimoni arranged to have such a building constructed, temporary building, and there were tables inside it. So it was like these round tables. So everyone took prasadam together, and it was really nice way to associate taking prasadam together around the table so you can have conversation that goes around. So one of the meals, I ended up sitting with two of my godbrothers that happened to, I've known them for years, they happen to be on the sannyas list now. So these two devotees, one's from England, the other one's from Spain, Prabhupada's disciples, are now on the sannyas list. So I started asking them, well, what's it like thinking about being a sannyasi? And so we had an interesting discussion, although I kept my distance, you know, I didn't want to get into it too much, you know. But an interesting discussion about their approach to taking sannyas. Both of them had been married before, and very interesting discussion. I think it's something that obviously has to be pondered by all devotees as we go through different stages of life. So thinking about that and reading today's subject matter, which in the purport Prabhupada talks about sannyas, the duties of a sannyasi, I thought, well, let me investigate a little bit about the history of sannyas. In Gaudiya Vaishnavism, at least we can begin with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We know that he took sannyas, but he did it for a particular purpose. And it was a purpose that is a little different than sannyas generally was practiced during his time. During the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mayavadi sannyas, Ekadanda sannyas was the prominent, very prominent and controlling in society. And so therefore, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached the subject of taking sannyas, he took sannyas from Keshava Bharati, who was from the Mayavadi school of sannyas. But he did this not for the purposes of a Mayavadi sannyasi, but in order to spread the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, the teachings of Krishna, to everyone. And based on his compassion, he saw that people at large would remain in ignorance, continuing to drown in the ocean of misery, material miseries, if they didn't receive instructions about Krishna, if they didn't receive Krishna prema. And so, in order to give that gift to the world, he took sannyas. So he did it for the purpose of benefiting others, and for preaching particularly, and for preaching purposes. Now, the interesting thing is that he accepted the dress of a sannyasi, danda, saffron cloth, like that. Of course, we know that just after taking sannyas on his way to Puri to make his residence there, Nityananda Prabhu broke his danda in three places and threw it away. And this is very significant. Many of our Vaishnava acharyas have commented on this breaking the danda, basically indicating that although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken sannyas, which is in the Varnashram system, sannyas is one of the orders of one of four ashrams of life. So although he took sannyas, which was in the Varnashram system, he was transcendental to that as the personality of Godhead. And to show that, Nityananda Prabhu broke his danda and threw it away, indicating that although he took sannyas within the Varnashram system, he's not part of the Varnashram system. Rather, he's the Supreme Lord himself. So that's a very meaningful pastime, and as I said, many of our acharyas have commented in some detail on that, so I think that that's a good source to read. This idea of taking sannyas and being within the Varnashram system is important as we go later in the history of Gaudiya Vaishnava sannyas. Now, at the time when he took sannyas, many of his close associates also renounced the world and took sannyas, but they also did so in ways which weren't ordinary. Swarup Damodar, for instance. He took sannyas, but he maintained the brahmachari name. And sannyas, just like in the other ashrams, there are formalities which characterize those ashrams. And the name is particularly important. In brahmachari ashram, there are certain names. In sannyas ashram, there are certain names. And Swarup Damodar, I believe he was a Purushottam Acharya in the Navadvipa Lila. When he heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas, he went and took sannyas, but he maintained the brahmachari name. He didn't take a sannyas name. And the Goswamis, Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, the others of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they also renounced, but they took a different dress. They didn't take the saffron cloth and the danda dress. They took a Paramahamsa Vesha, or they wore white cloth as a renunciate. And they did that, according to our acharyas, to keep away from the recognition that's associated with the Varnashram system. In other words, sannyasi is known by dress, grihastha is known by dress. They also being transcendental to the Varnashram system, and the recognition, particularly the recognition that comes from that, they took this Paramahamsa Vesha, or white dress of a Babaji, like that. So we see the photo of the six Goswamis. You see they have a short white dhoti like that. They accepted this type of a dress, again, outside of the ordinary Varnashram culture. Now, I'm not sure, and I wasn't able to have time to check the history significantly enough to know what dress was accepted by later acharyas in our line. Maybe someone here knows. But later acharyas like Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, what type of dress they had in their pursuit of their renunciation. But it becomes more known to us, or at least known to me, when we come to the time of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we know that he didn't accept sannyas, but he accepted the Babaji, dress of a Babaji at the very end of his life, when he shut himself off from the world. He accepted the dress of a Babaji. And that was the practice of the Vaishnavas at that time. You also have Jagannath Das Babaji, Gaurakishore Das Babaji. This sannyas, the ashram and the dress, weren't part of the Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava culture at that time. And so then we find at the time of Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur that he reintroduced sannyas in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line. And he specifically introduced Tridandi sannyas, which was the same sannyas taken by, in the same mood as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his immediate followers, the six Goswamis. So Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur is particularly important in our understanding and our practice of sannyas, because, as I said, he reestablished this. And why did he reestablish this? Why, does anybody have an idea why he reestablished sannyas? Yes.
Change people's perception of
Right, the bad reputation that was there among the Babaji's and Gaudiya Vaishnavism in particular, there was a lot of things, and so he wanted to rectify that, yes. Anybody else have something? Yeah, he did this, and what essentially he did was he took help from the Varnashram system. You see, previously the Goswamis and the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they wanted to be known as different than the Varnashram system, transcendental to the Varnashram system, so or above the Varnashram system. So they rejected the type of sannyas which was part of Varnashram culture. But as Mother Mahindravi was pointing out, over the course of time, things have become so degraded that this idea of being above the Varnashram rules and regulations became like a joke, because there was so much corruption and illicit behavior going on by those in the dress of a Babaji who supposedly are no longer connected to this world, have renounced this world. And so therefore, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted the help of the Varnashram system by reestablishing sannyas in the Varnashram system for the purpose of preaching, not only to rectify the reputation issues that Mother Mahindrani was saying, but also to spread the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to very vigorously preach. And so he took sannyas in that way. There's a description that says that to set an example of Daivi Varnashram, the transcendental system of four orders and four social orders and four spiritual orders, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta decided to firmly take sannyas. By his decision to accept saffron cloth, he actually took a humble position below his two gurus, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who had both accepted the white cloth of Paramahamsa Vaish. On March 7th, 1918, on the auspicious occasion and full moon day of Sri Mahaprabhu's appearance day festival, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta took sannyas according to the Vedic rites at Sri Mayapur in front of the photo of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji. In this way, by taking the help of the Varnashram, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was able to preach thunderously. So he also reestablished a lot of the formalities of sannyas, including titles and 108 sannyas names, the dress, the sadhana, the standards, the sannyas mantra. All these things were reestablished by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I had a very interesting conversation in Mayapur last year, not this year, with His Holiness Raghunath Swami and His Holiness Bhakti Vijayapuna Maharaj. And they were talking about sannyas names. And I found out some very interesting things. I'm not quite sure I remember all of them, but just like I always thought that any sannyasi had to have the name Swami or Goswami, but that's not a fact. I mean, you can be a sannyasi and not have that as part of your name, Swami or Goswami. But there are other sannyas names. In other words, Swami is, or Goswami is just a sannyas name. It's not. Of course, we know it designates control of the senses and everything, but it's a name. So, for instance, I think Tirtha is one of the names you can have. Tirtha. You don't have to have Swami. You can be such and such Tirtha. And it's very interesting. There's a whole culture of sannyas, and this is all reintroduced by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, that's a little bit of the history now. As I said, I wanted to inform all of you, all of those anxious devotees lining up to take sannyas in our community here. I wanted to let you know what you have to do to take sannyas and ISKCON. I'd be happy to be a GBC representative to recommend you. I have served that function for one devotee who's a brahmachari, but somehow or another he wanted me to be his recommending GBC for sannyas, so I did that. So for a GBC who is recommending a candidate for sannyas, it must be based on personal experience, and he has to be able to attest to the fact that the candidate is exemplary in the following ways. So these are the seven areas in which a sannyasi, you may approach sannyas in ISKCON. First is devotional sadhana. You have to be regular in the performance of your sadhana, attending programs, visibly chanting at least 16 rounds a day. And it's especially important the candidate is rising early and regularly and attending Mangalarti. So devotional sadhana. Shastric knowledge. The candidate has a clear and ample grasp of the Vaishnava Siddhanta and can convey this knowledge in an inspiring way to both experienced and inexperienced devotees. He should be able to present the philosophy of Krishna consciousness in a systematic way to innocent people and convey transcendental knowledge to them in a compassionate, enlightening manner according to time, place, and circumstance. Cooperation with ISKCON authorities. We run a international society which objective is to please Srila Prabhupada, and cooperation with ISKCON authorities is very important. When one takes sannyas, one has been given a certain amount of freedom to engage in preaching widely, which is the main purpose for which Srila Prabhupada gave sannyas. And so this has to be done in a cooperative spirit with ISKCON authorities. One has to be a preaching leader. You have to inspire other devotees by preaching Krishna consciousness. He must also encourage devotees to follow the instructions of Srila Prabhupada and put the same emphasis as Srila Prabhupada did in areas such as Gurukula and Varnashram. Arena Varnashram is a very complex subject matter with many different opinions, but Prabhupada had certain views about that, and we should also place those on them. Of course, the candidate has to control the mind and senses. This is very important. A normal and exemplary behavior. The candidate should appear normal both in public and in his dealings with devotees. It should not be exceptionally eccentric and a possible embarrassment to the sannyas ashram. So, and then there's complaints. If someone has complaints about a candidate, then they can be lodged with the sannyas committee for consideration. So since the GBC has those duties in trying to assess when someone comes to take sannyas, but then there are some personal qualifications that are also there. How free is one from sex desire? How long has he been a brahmachari? Or how long has he been living away from his wife? What is his preaching record? Is it demonstrated his ability to preach strongly? Is he a preaching leader? Has he been doing this for a respectable amount of time? Is he very strict in his personal conduct? Is he above suspicion? Is he philosophically strong? Is he self-reliant? So these are some qualifications. Now, if it's a grihastha that's interested in taking sannyas, the question is, he can't take sannyas in ISKCON unless the wife is willing, by agreement, in writing, and all necessary legal separation papers are provided. All daughters are married and financially independent, or of a majority age. The sons are self-supporting or of a majority age, and the father has no legal responsibility. He has arranged financial support for his wife if there are no grandsons or sons-in-laws who have agreed to provide support. And he agrees in principle that this guy is not responsible for such support or arrangements. And this is particularly important because in the past, in ISKCON, many people have taken sannyas without taking care of these other social obligations. And they've either fallen on the society or it's become a problem and an embarrassment that family members are deserted in this way in the name of sannyas. And so now these things are very strictly controlled. And every year at the GBC meeting, the sannyas candidates are presented and a full report of all how all these things have been met are described. Okay, they're showing such and such Prabhu up there. Okay, well, what's the situation with his wife, his children? That's reviewed by everybody on the GBC and voted on, actually. We vote on the sannyas candidates every year. Now, there's an age restriction as well. This was also found that Prabhupada gave sannyas to very young men, again, for the purpose of preaching, spreading the Krishna consciousness movement. But that was also, we found difficulty being young and being renounced. Same difficulty that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya expressed about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So what has been done is that there's some different age guidelines. A brahmachari should be considered for sannyas only if he has actually strictly followed his vows for at least 10 years and is at least 40 years old. In exceptional cases, a man may be awarded sannyas before the age of 40 by a two-thirds majority vote of the GBC. They moved that up now to 4/5 majority vote. To take sannyas at the age of 50, one must have been on the waiting list for 2 years. At 45, if you want to take sannyas, you have to be on the waiting list for 3 years. At 40, you have to be on the list for 4 years. And at 35, you have to be on the list for 5 years. Being on the sannyas waiting list means every year there's a review of your qualifications. And there's a judgment whether you move up 1 year or not. Sometimes people move up, sometimes they don't. Sometimes people are put on the list, sometimes they're removed from the list. So that's a little bit about the GBC process for sannyasis. Now, if you want to find out more information on this, I searched online and I found a 192-page document called Srila Prabhupada on Sannyas. And it has all the quotes and instances in Prabhupada's time with us where he talked about sannyas in different ways. He talks about the definition and purpose of sannyas, the acceptance of sannyas, the activities of sannyas, the qualities of sannyas, sannyas and renunciation, sannyas as guru, sannyas and preaching, sannyas and sex, sannyas and varnashram, sannyas and Kali Yuga, Vaishnava sannyasis, Mayavada sannyasis, and miscellaneous facts about sannyas. So there are, as I said, 192 pages of quotes in that regard. Unfortunately, this file, you can't search it very well, otherwise I could pull out certain things that might be of importance to you. For instance, wife cannot remain a servitor in the sannyas stage. The sannyasi's son stays at the home to deliver the mother. Brahmacharya defined. Does not travel during the rainy season. His only business is to preach. Criticism can hamper preaching. Anyway, there's sleeps on the ground and bathes thrice a day. That was one of the issues that one of my friends was telling me about that he had the most challenge with, is that when you travel and you're preaching, you don't know where you're going to sleep every night. So it causes a little anxiety to come in the brain, you know, like, well, where am I going to sleep? Are they going to have some place? I mean, I know even as a Grahasta, I was traveling in Guyana. Some of the places they had me sleep, I thought was like Chinese torture bed or something like that. So sannyasis have to face all these things. So, any questions on this subject? Yes, Paul?
So very interesting class. That's what they have. You were mentioning that how the perception or the perceived notion of sannyas from the six Goswamis, from Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, and then from ISKCON. What's really interesting, though, is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur basically awarding himself sannyas. So what would be the historical comparison between his decision of doing that and the highly structured way of ISKCON of awarding sannyas?
Well, that's a good question. The research I have here says that he took sannyas as Sri Ramanujacharya had done in front of the image of his guru many centuries before. So there was a precedent that he refers to Sri Ramanujacharya taking sannyas in the way he took sannyas. But of course, the circumstances around time, and this is probably something that has to be researched more and is obviously discussed more by His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami in his biography that he's compiled of the life of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, I mean, I'd refer you to there, but I mean, this little reference is there, how he took based on that. But there are no, you generally take sannyas from another sannyasi, and there are no other sannyasis also, so that's another factor at that time. I mean, it's not something that's, I don't think it was practiced in Gaudiya Math after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and certainly it's not an authorized practice in ISKCON for taking sannyas. You generally take from another sannyasi, but in his case, there were no other sannyasis. Yes.
Yes, thank you, Prabhu. My question is there anything written about the standard of how devotees in ISKCON should treat sannyasis outside of ISKCON, the proper respect? Is there anything that you can tell us about that?
Well, of course, one of the general instructions that one should offer respect to all devotees of the Lord. As far as I know, the Shastra doesn't have parentheses, you know, ISKCON devotees of the Lord. It's all devotees of the Lord. So the general, no, what to speak of devotees, all living beings should be respected. Sannyasis, I mean, I think we could go back to Prabhupada's, how he showed how to interact with sannyasis in India and everything. Of course, we can't do everything he did. Like some, I think Pushkar was giving the class the other day, and he said how one sannyasi had commented that Bhaktivedanta Swami considers everybody rascals or something like that. But obviously, we can't take that. But we should generally be respectful to all living beings, certainly someone who's taken spiritual vows and things like that. Certainly be respectful. Indeed, actually, I'd be sort of negligent. Some of the notes I have here are from one of our godbrothers, Nishina Swami. He's Nishina, he gave us sannyas by Prabhupada. So these are notes from his website where I got some of this history. And so he's not within ISKCON, but certainly, you know, I respect him, and I'm using notes from his website here. So I think that generally you should respect all living entities. That's one of the principles of a sannyasi, actually, that he respects all living entities. Yes.
What about when you were describing these different guidelines from the GVC side to a worse sannyasi? We have the impression that people want to take sannyas. Is there any case in which the community of leaders are asking somebody to take sannyas? Mm,
that's an interesting question. I don't think that, I don't know, quite honestly, whether they do. I mean, perhaps some senior brahmacharis have been requested like that by their guru or something. I'm not sure. For instance, in the former Soviet Union now, and in Russia in particular, there are many devotees that have been brahmacharis for a long time, senior leaders there, and now they're starting to take sannyas, so they're more and more sort of Russian sannyasis, if you will. Now, I'm not sure whether, you know, they've been asked to take sannyas to help preach and push the movement there. Certainly, I think when someone is doing the type of preaching work that's recognized, then the question about them taking sannyas comes up, and then maybe they're asked by some of the sannyasis leaders in ISKCON or GBCs, will you take sannyas? I'm not sure on that. Yeah.
There was a discussion on this other Sangha, this Skype one from Hawaii that I participate in, with about Maharaj Yudhisthira, when he left home and they said he took some. And in the purport, Prabhupada said rather emphatically that everybody has to. And then it went into the discussion, is it required, is it optional, is it something that everybody should do at the time of 50? You only went to 50, you didn't say 60 or 70, how many years people had to wait. So is it something that's required by ISKCON, or it's not required, and you still can go back to Godhead, or what's the Prabhupada's...
Well, one of the instructions about sannyas is that it's not just a change of dress. And so it's a condition of your heart. And so that condition of the heart, that renounced condition of the heart, is required. Now, whether a change of dress is required, it becomes a question because of the record or performance of sannyas in our society. Now, everyone has to take it. That means that, you know, you take every guy, break my arm if I don't take sannyas or something like that. I don't think that's the way to take sannyas. I mean, neither can sannyas be maintained like that. And indeed, that's what we've seen. I mean, I had my own personal experience in 76, I think it was, in Mayapur, seeing a grihastha surrounded by sannyasis, basically with his arm twisted. You know, pushing, they're going to take it to the Prabhupada, you're going to get sannyas, you know. Unfortunately, that devotee, although he did much service, is no longer in ISKCON, or to speak of being a sannyasi. So, should everyone be forced to take sannyas? I don't think that that's, you know. Should everyone come to the level or within their hearts of renunciation that's required? Yes. That's my personal view on not speaking on behalf of anyone but myself up here. So any of the ladies have any questions? Yes, Ananda Prabhu.
Sometimes can be like Russian roulette, because I'm thinking, Prabhupada said, I remember he wrote specifically, he said, a person who takes sannyas and then willfully breaks his vow, he must take birth again in the material world. That's exactly what he must take birth again in the material world. And Lord Chaitanya, he forbid to take sannyas in Kali Yuga. Of course, what that means in light of the fact that there are still sannyasis in Kali Yuga. But if we could understand exactly what he meant by that.
Yeah, well, there's some instruction in this booklet here on sannyas, Srila Prabhupada and sannyas, about that. subject. But, you know, I'm not going to go into it here, but I think your point is well taken. I mean, why take sannyas just to break the vows? I mean, it's come back. Anything else? Okay, go. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.